Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports
Babes
show.
On bro.
Hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart, they're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome into episode number 42 of Babes on Broad. I'm Sam Wilson with my co-host Jesse Town, and we are the Babes on Broad, brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Make sure to give us a follow on all of the social medias at Babes on Broad on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me, Sam, at SamWills18 on Twitter and Instagram. And then you can find Jess at RunThisTown with an E13 on Twitter and at Jessica_Town with an E on Instagram. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel, Babes on Broad. You can find all of our past live pregame shows, all this other stuff that hopefully we make content to put out there eventually. And then also our live pregame shows, which you can find this Sunday. We're back and we're doing it again. And hopefully it brings luck this time. And then also check out our website, babesonbroadpodcast.com. So this week, Jess, we got the battle of the state.
Oh, boy.
We got Philly versus the Steel City.
Did that hurt your knuckles? Sam just
a little bit
together, and it I mean, I could hear it on Zoom, so that had
yeah, a little bit. Fun fact, though, I beat all the boys in my seventh grade class in bloody knuckles, so.
You're an animal. You're a good animal.
I know.
But, yeah, so the Steelers coming off a random bye week due to the Titans' COVID breakout and everything that's going on there. But the Steelers are 3-0 now. They've played the Giants, the Broncos, and the Texans, who are,
yes.
I believe, 0-4, 0-4, and 0-4. Oh, I'm sorry. The Broncos are 1-3. That's my bad. So 3-0, but there's a lot of bad teams in the NFL these days. But Ben's coming off of a year where he had Tommy John, didn't he? It was essentially Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
And
something similar.
But he's been playing pretty well. He lost a little bit of weight, so he's got a little pep in his step this year, actually.
Yeah, his stats are looking better than Carson right now. He's got 7 touchdowns already on the year and only 1 interception compared to, what, Carson's 3-4 touchdowns with 7 interceptions, I think, so far. So, I mean, his stats on that, you can't argue, are looking better than Carson. He's also just that veteran presence, which we haven't really faced yet. I'm trying to think of who we played. And it's all been basically mediocre.
Dwayne Haskins, quarterback, who's gotten benched now. Joe Burrow, who is a rookie. Nick Mullins, who then got benched for CJ in the fourth quarter. And, oh, my God, there's another. Oh, and Jared Goff. Jared Goff's a pretty decent quarterback, I guess. I was like,
but, I mean, he still hasn't had that.
I blocked that week out of my memory because I could not remember who they played.
But he's still not that, like, veteran presence. So, like, I obviously, Ben, I feel like, is the most dominant quarterback that they're going to be facing so far.
Yeah.
And their offense isn't terrible. I mean, they have James Conner, who's had already 2 games over 100 yards rushing. Again, who did they play, really? And then Benny Snell's had a 100-yard rushing game. And then they have some weapons on the pass game, too, with Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and then their tight end, Eric Ebron. Is it Ebron?
Ebron.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be interesting. You know, Carson already took it to Ben once in his career, so it's not necessarily – I mean, Ben's not what he used to be. I do think he's obviously, you know, come back from injury well so far. But, you know, his stats look good, but stats schmats. Dak Prescott threw for 500 yards last week and took a fat L from the Browns. So – I don't care what the stats say, you know, and someone tried to throw that at my face. Oh, Carson only threw for this many and Dak threw for this many. Well, Tom Brady threw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl, but the banners in Philadelphia. There are no consolation prizes for a loss. Thank you very much. But yeah, so I think, I mean, there's going to be a couple, you know, different keys to the game. One thing I think to note is in the Steelers injury front, TJ Watt didn't practice yesterday. So practice yesterday, meaning Thursday. The Friday practice reports have not come out yet as we're recording this right now. TJ practiced on Wednesday. He did not practice on Thursday. So waiting to kind of see what happened there. It was a knee thing, so not sure what's going on. Maybe just giving him a rest day if there was something kind of bothering him.
I imagine he would play just because they did have that extra, like, kind of bye week thing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was now their bye week because they are playing during their original bye week, but
unless it was,
I imagine he'll play.
Or something.
Yeah, unless.
But Wednesday's did not practice included Juju Smith-Schuster, Ben Roethlisberger, Marquise Pouncey, Joe Hayden, Deontay Johnson, and Steven Tuitt. It was a combo of, I think, like, Juju or Joe Hayden was sick. Ben, Marquise were both non-injury related. And I think, and Juju as well. And then Deontay Johnson and Steven Tuitt were both injury related, but all of them are expected to be ready, fine, play Sunday. So the only question mark there is TJ Watt. The opposite side, not as normal. Rudy Ford and TJ Edwards both were put on IR after Doug said earlier this week they were going to miss some time. And then again, as of Thursday's practice, both Avante and Alshon did not practice. Doug said today Alshon is out again, which is absolute BS because now it's going into week five. He chewed up a roster spot, is still chewing up one, could have started on the PUP list or IR, but nope, Howie had to be an idiot once more and give Alshon a roster spot. And I don't see him making a big difference when he comes back anyway. So this was just a waste of a spot, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
I think it's ridiculous that he took up a spot and is still just non-existent. Deshaun has a chance of playing. Rodney McLeod was limited. Lane was limited in practice, but I think those are fine. They'll play. And then JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Fletcher Cox, Marcus Epps, Nate Herbig, and Jason Kelsey all were full yesterday, and they'll be fine to go. So, with all of these injuries still on the Eagles' side, and after coming off a win, which was a full team win against an actual decent football team, aside from maybe the quarterback position there, what are your keys to the game for the Eagles on both sides of the ball to be able to pull out a win against another decent football team?
I think that it's not – I don't want to start with that because I'm going to give away my prediction before I even say anything. But I do think it's going to be a key factor – of whether it's good for the Steelers or bad for them, but the bye that they got unexpectedly. I think that's going to be a key factor. Hopefully it hurts them because they didn't, like we said, they were 3-0. I mean, they played bad teams, but they kind of had it going and rolling. So hopefully it ends up kind of throwing them off of that 3-0 train and we can give them their first loss.
Yep.
But on the offense, I think that Carson, we need to see what we saw last week from him, of him scrambling, getting out of the pocket, especially with how good the rushing is from the defensive side of the Steelers. Because with this questionable O-line that we have, I mean, yes, they did good last week for what they were. It's going to be interesting to see them against somebody like TJ Watt, who has 3.5 sacks on the year, and they're a whole defense that has 15 total. So I think that's going to be the biggest part, is Carson getting out of the pocket, being smart, getting rid of the ball, and the offensive line taking care of Carson in that sense. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, it makes me nervous just because Ben is that experienced veteran that kind of just has those weapons that are good enough to get the job done. So I think we just need to put pressure on Ben. The linebackers need to stop the run. Please stop the run. And then the secondary is just going to need to stop the connection between Ben and the receivers. So I'm saying it's going to be close. The Steelers have let up over 20 points each game, even though they haven't really played anybody. I think it's going to be messy, but I do think that the Eagles will get the win. So I'm going to say 25-24 Eagles.
Yeah. I totally agree with you there with what you said about the offense, especially. They need to continue with what went well last week. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. It took you 3 weeks to get to, you know, 3 weeks of crap to get to something successful. I think they need to keep moving up tempo, moving Carson out of the pocket, utilize the strengths of what little you have available and not trying to force an issue with the weaknesses. I think that definitely getting another week in there of, you know, the same offensive line as the previous week, I think that will be helpful. I thought the offensive line, you know, did a good job last week. Obviously, you know, the defensive line for the Steelers is their strong suit on the defensive side. So they're going to need to, you know, play another good game this week. And I don't want to see any more of these stupid little gadget plays with Jalen Hurts with Carson Wentz on the field at the same time. They're obvious, they're stupid, and they need to stop. Also, you know, I as much as we talked about how, you know, I love that Carson was still out there actually blocking and not just kind of running off to the side, at the end of the day, if he walks out of that with like a sprained wrist or jammed
your ankle, or
some DB takes a shot for no reason, yeah. Like I'm rioting. So that needs to stop. And then on the defensive side, total agreement as well. I mean, the defense, they're one of the top, the Steelers offense is one of the top offensive lines, top 10 offensive lines in the NFL. So the defense needs to, you know, work to get pressure, but the back end is going to be what's the most important. You know, the secondary really needs to execute to perfection this week. There's not going to be any time for missed assignments or something like that, because Ben's the, you know, he's the guy who's going to exploit that. He's going to see it. He's going to exploit it. You're not playing Joe Burrow or Nick Mullins anymore. You know, like you're playing Ben Roethlisberger, a well-seasoned vet coming back from injury with something to prove after, you know, they thought, you know, there was a lot of talk about them moving on from Ben after, you know, last year. So they're going to need a big week from their corners and their safeties. And, you know, they're going, whether, no matter where they are playing, if they put Jalen back at safety, or if he stays at court, whatever they do, they need to execute well, and they don't have time to flounder about out there. So I agree with you. Close scoring game. I think it's going to be 21-17 Eagles.
I like it. You brought up the, high power Steelers offensive line. And I just want to note, just to get us in our feels a little bit, they do have Stefan Wisniewski.
Mm-hmm.
How much that could have helped us, you know, him.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Right.
I can't.
Yeah.
Roster.
I know him. Vitae would have been stupid, but Wisniewski could have helped us a lot.
I mean, Vitae would be pretty freaking useful right now with all the different injuries and the different spots that he's able.
I know. If only we could have predicted it.
But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to touch on some listener questions as well as what's going on around Philly. You're listening to The Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back into episode number 42 of Babes on Broad. We have some things going on around Philly. First off, being part, so sad to hear about Joel Embiid and Anna DePaula's dog, Claus DeProcess. He passed away because he was closing an elevator door and then had internal bleeding. They couldn't save him. And it is absolutely terrible. I could not even imagine.
I can't even fathom.
She posted it on her story today, which is Friday as we're recording. And it was so sad. She had posted a picture of him with a little banner, like bandana hanging on him. And it said, best big brother.
Okay, you're going to make me cry.
And then, you know, it got me in the feels, and I just couldn't imagine, and I'm so sorry to hear that for them. So RIP, Claus. But on to good news is Matt Klentak. Bye. Well, I guess it's kind of good. Bye! He's not there making the top decisions anymore. Bad part about that is he's still in the organization, Jess.
I don't understand why they feel the need to keep a spot for him in the organization when he's done nothing.
It just proves that him and Middleton had that weird connection, and it's just went on too long, and that's why he was even here when he was. But
there's no reason. I mean, the fact that they are where they are and they had to get rid of their GM and their biggest star is trying to bully upper management into
literally
decisions, like could this be worse? Could this be any worse for the Phillies right now?
But and that's one thing, like thankfully Klintak is gone, but I don't know if it's too far gone with JT that we'll be able to get him back. And it's just so frustrating still, and I will forever not like that man if we don't or aren't able to get JT back. But, I mean, even John Middleton came out this week, earlier this week, and said that in the beginning when they were considering trading Sixto and other players for JT, that he advised them to not do it unless they had future long-term plans with JT. And he even said, he was like, so well, I thought we were getting JT longer, and I supposedly I was wrong. So even that just shows they were
– like, that's not acceptable.
No. And I think, like, at least, if anything, at least it was this, tipping stone to get him out of here. Well, off of that position. But, man, like, if we don't get JT, Jess, I am just going to be so mad. And, I mean, I see other people like, oh, we should spend money getting a GM, a great GM. I forget the guy's name even because he's a GM. Who cares? You know what I mean? And they're saying spend the money on a GM instead of JT. And I just can't rationale that.
I still think at this point, the only way they don't get JT back is if they don't try. Because I still think, I think Bryce Harper would bully JT into signing the contract. Like, I think.
Okay, great. And he has a great relationship with the players, obviously, but then also the wives. Like, I mean, I know I'm, like, in a little wag group myself, but, like, I can tell you firsthand, that's, like, a big connection. You know what I mean? So, like, that has some pull. And she has been at Bryce Harper's, like, baby shower for their new baby, like, his wife's baby shower. And she's had sleepovers because I follow her on everything. And she's always posting about how they're always together. So that could have some pull, too.
Yeah.
So and they have girls. They might not want to move again.
Yeah. So I think that if – It I truly believe at this point that because JT had always talked about how he didn't want to talk about contract in season.
Mm-hmm.
So is it disappointing that they don't have one done yet? Yes. But I don't think that he's totally lost at this point. I genuinely think that the only way he's lost is if the Phillies don't offer anything. You know what I mean? Like if the
Phillies but at the same
that's how that doesn't happen, in my opinion.
I agree. But at the same time, it just like, it worries me in the sense that like granted Klintak's gone. So maybe he disassociates that kind of bad blood with that they didn't offer him and made him go to arbitration and stuff. But I'm just nervous because he could have some kind of animosity against the team. And then when a team like the Yankees has all the money in the world and all these teams are going to be throwing probably more than the Phillies are going to be able to spend, like, we're not able, but willing to spend. Yeah. So, like, that's what concerns me is, like, have they given him a reason besides Bryce and the teammates to be like, yeah, like, I will take a little bit of a pay cut to come here.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, the only way this doesn't get done is if it's the Phillies' fault.
I agree.
It doesn't have to be anyone else's fault other than the Phillies, and that's unacceptable at this point. Because, and we've talked about this before. Like, we talk about the Zach Ertz thing, right? And it's like, you know, do I want them to sign Zach Ertz? Absolutely. But do I see the argument for the other side? Does the argument for the other side make sense? Yes. This is quite literally the best catcher in baseball. There is no argument
literally
from the other side. Like, no. There is no argument from the other direction. Nothing else makes sense.
Maybe Yachty a couple years ago, but now?
Right now?
All around?
No. No shot.
All around? Yeah, no.
I mean, it's embarrassing if you trade Sixto Sanchez, who, oh, by the way.
Just say the stat.
Last night in a playoff game, loaded the bases, no outs, threw 5 pitches over 100 miles per hour to escape with no runs. The Phillies, 28 pitchers, did not throw one single pitch at 100 miles per hour all season. There is There's no reason that JT Realmuto should not be a Philly for the rest of his career. And honestly, everyone should be fired and the team should be sold if he's not a Philly, because it's embarrassing.
I feel like Jack Black in School of Rock when he says his face is melting.
Yes.
That's me after I hear that stat. just came out and had the mental stability to be like, okay, I need to get my game on. You know what I mean? And just throw five pitches over 100 miles per hour like it's nothing. That's how good he is. And they're going to have him for 10 plus years now. And that could have been ours.
Let him go.
Yeah, they shouldn't. Jeez.
Yep. So that makes me want to die a little. Yeah, I just think that the Phillies are as down as we were on the Sixers. They have made a perfect coaching hire. And I think it's really exciting to see what happens. I still think that it's, you know, embarrassing that they haven't fired anybody from the front office, but that's neither here nor there. The Phillies are currently the laughingstock of their league and are currently the laughingstock of this city. And it is pathetic.
Yeah, true that. They have not
played a playoff game in 9 years. Since Ryan Howard tore his Achilles, the Phillies have not played a playoff game.
And it's just so brutal, man, especially like people our age. We grew up with all this excitement around the Phillies, like great franchise names, you know what I mean? Like when we were little, like Darren Dalton and Pat Burrell, and then you had J-Roll and Chase Utley and Ryan Howard and just everybody, Cole Hamels. And then you had all those the pitchers that I'm blanking, but
Roy Halladay, all of them. Roy Oswalt, Cliff Lee.
Cliff Lee, that's who I was trying to think of that pulls me on all of them. And yeah, and Halladay, all of, like, you just had all that, and it was so exciting and so perfect, and then now it just dropped off, and it's, like, brutal, because I grew up on that, and I loved it, and that's why, like, baseball was one of my favorite things in the world, besides family ties to it, but, like, and then it's just so disappointing. It hurts my heart so bad. Ugh.
All right. Before we end this episode, we're going to stop being sad about the Phillies for a second.
I know, I'm sorry. Yeah, party over here.
I'm going to get to some listener questions really quick. So we have two questions, both from @Callie_dream. First one, could this offense take off with some offensive line continuity and Rager and Alshon eventually returning?
I think so. I mean, I think if as long as Doug and Carson keep improving on what they showed last week, I think it's definitely huge when you start getting that chemistry on the O-line. And, I mean, we saw Kelsey with a couple shaky snaps last week. So I think it's just like if he starts to trust them more and they start to trust each other and Carson, I just think it all wraps into each other. So I think it'll definitely help that part. And then Rager, I think, is going to be a big key to have back. Alshon, I'm hoping is. But who really knows at this point with how Alshon is? But so that's my only thing. Everything else, yes, Alshon, and I hope.
Yeah, I'm totally with the offensive line continuity, I think, is huge.
Yeah.
I hope that Jalen Rager coming back helps and it's not, you know, doesn't interrupt kind of the way he started his rookie season too much. I think Alshon is completely irrelevant, to be clear.
Yeah.
I think that it neither here, like, doesn't matter if he comes back, doesn't matter if he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, my thing about it is I don't see him having a different outcome than Deshaun's had so far. I feel like it's just having another Deshaun out there. And what has Deshaun done this season so far?
Being, you know, load managed.
Yeah.
I'm still mad about that. I'm still.
Yeah, and imagine when Alshon comes back. He's not much younger and he is coming off of a big injury. So why wouldn't they load manage him? I don't know. It's not exciting to me for Alshon to come back, really. But.
And the last question, does safety Will Parks returning make any difference on the defense, especially in the secondary?
I guess, yeah, with Maddox out and I don't know, maybe shift people.
Yeah, like for rotational purposes, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think it changes much about what you've got going on right now.
I agree.
Hope they keep trending in the direction they are.
I agree.
Well, that'll, yeah, I hope the whole team keeps trending up, to be completely honest.
Yeah, right.
But that will be the end of our episode for today. Thank you for listening to episode 42 of Babes on Broad. Thank you, as always, to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Make sure to subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts on Bleeding Green Nation. Leave a 5-star rating, written review, the whole nine. We will be back, as Sam said, this week for our pregame show at 11:30. So don't forget to catch us live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Sam's Instagram as well. Until then, we have Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
Babes on Broad. BGN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best. whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.